So I just want to share just a brief, it'll be brief today, but share a word that the Lord's been putting on my heart and something that I know I need to work on because of my background, because of my past, because of the bad thinking that I've had. And I know that when I was sharing last week about knowing God and God knowing us and us taking on that nature of who God is as we know him, that it's only through a intimate relationship that we're really going to get to know him. It's only through, I believe, an intimate and affectionate relationship that we're really going to get to know him, and he's going to get to know us, where we allow him into our space. And so I was reading through Romans 8 this week. It was part of our one-year Bible reading. And I read over this. And today I didn't think anything when I read it, except for it kind of challenged me. But this morning I was reading Romans 8 again, and when I hit this spot, it like jumped out at me, and it challenged me. How many of you are from a broken home? Not as many as I thought, but quite a few of us. It's unfortunately one of the things of our society that has become huge. People not staying together. People not realizing that their covenant relationship that they made is a lifelong relationship and working through it. And I know there's sometimes circumstances that cause people to lose love for each other. But it's still a tragedy that many of us have had broken homes. And I believe when we get into a broken home, as such as I was, we lose the full structure of the home. And I think in the essence of it, we lose the father in our home most of the time. And we lose that father relationship. Now, sometimes we are from a home that there's no brokenness, and they're all still together. And yet our father has never showed us really true father's heart. Never really given us, I guess, something to have a model of what a father should be. And I love my dad. My dad is not a Christian from the Christian sense. I mean, he doesn't go to church. I believe that he knows about God, and he was told about God when he was a kid, and he respects him, but it's not like there's intimacy there. And so I say all this so that when I read this scripture to you, you can understand where I'm coming from, because there is, unfortunately, a mindset that we have that we take our earthly situations, what our earthly understanding is of things, and apply them to our spiritual life, which is wrong. It's bad, but it's sometimes hard not to do that. So if you will turn with me to Romans 8:15, I'm just going to read Romans 15, 16, and 17, and then I'll share a little bit on these. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Why don't you say that with me? I am a child of God. I am a child of God. See, that's amazing that we can say that we are a child of God. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So what I want to focus on for a little bit is this Abba Father. Because this word father sometimes is even hard for us to comprehend. The word Abba starts to get even more harder for us to comprehend when it comes to God. This word Abba literally means, well, what's one of the first things that a new baby says? Dada. Dada. I think you were bragging about that the other day, weren't you, Jay? You were excited. You're maybe not boasting. Boasting, maybe? He said, Dada. Okay. I know how it is. Did you hear that? Dada. But what does that mean? That's a little baby associating their heart and their life with their father in a very, very affectionate way. And so this, folks, is how we're to think of God. This is how we're to think of him, like a dada. Like a dada. Like a daddy. I was at a conference last year, and it was odd for me at first, but one of the main, I think he was more like an MC, when he would refer to God, he was saying, Papa. And he wasn't saying it like, you know, well, I'm saying Papa, so you guys know what I'm saying. No, you could tell the way he said Papa. I mean, it's like he does it a lot. And he's made God his Papa. The thing is that we've already received the Spirit to be able to say Papa. It's how many of us exercise and how many of us have understanding that we can. How many of us can really truly relate that he is our daddy? Not many of us. I would have to tell you, not many of us. Because if more of us could relate that he was daddy, you'd be dancing up here before the throne. Because I don't know about you, but when somebody's your daddy, they're going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. And if God's your daddy, what could hurt you? Nothing, isn't that true? Okay, let's take this apart just a little bit here. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Why is he saying that? Because we live like we've received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We live like we're slaves. Slaves of sin, and then sometimes even we think we're slaves to God. Not in a good bond servant type of way. Not like where we say, man, I'm giving it all to God and I'm choosing to have God be my master. But we look at like he's this mean tyrant and we're his slave, and if we don't do something right, he's going to hit us with a whip over our backs. That's what he's saying here. Folks, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That word received, it literally means like you've taken it. But some of us have. Some of us think that we have to do all these things to please God, to make him satisfied with us, to make him love us. That we have to perform enough so that God will accept us, so that God will be our Father. But what's it say here? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Now this word adoption, it's a pretty good translation, but it really means that you have been set up as sons of God. That we weren't sons before, but now you have literally been set up as sons of God. Why else could we be joint heirs with Christ? Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. See, I'm throwing out words there, and I tell you, most of us, they're buzzing right over. Joint heirs with Christ? Co-heirs with Christ? If you have an inheritance given to you, and it's from somebody that dies, and it's a lot, and you're the heir, what do you have? Everything that's been given to you, right? And if you're a co-heir, what do you have? Everything that's been given to the others. And we are co-heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has is ours. Everything the Father has is Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has, and he's given to us. We are co-heirs. We have not received this spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. We've been made sons of God by where we can cry out. That's that word that they used when blind Bartimaeus was crying out to God. It's a loud cry. We can cry out, "Daddy, Daddy!" We can. We can cry out, "Daddy, Daddy." We can cry out with a loud voice, "Daddy, Daddy." In other words, when we're in need, we can cry out to Him. Are we getting this? He is our Abba Father. He is. We don't have to do something to make Him that. We don't have to perform a certain way to make Him our daddy. He is our daddy. We've received the spirit of sonship. The problem is, we have been raised in a society, raised with teachings that tell us we have to earn our sonship. We don't earn our sonship. It's freely given. It's freely given. Now, as sons, we live differently. And when I say sons, I mean sons, male and female sons. Does that make sense? Okay, not probably to everybody, but it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. It works in God. We are all children or sons of God, and we have been, if you see the very beginning of Genesis, it says, He created man, male and female, He created them. So when mankind was made, it was mankind. Now we are sons of God, children of God. And we can call Him our daddy. Not that we can, folks, we must. We must call Him our daddy. We must make Him our intimate Father. Not just a heavenly Father up there somewhere that's kind of watching over me and making sure that, you know, all my needs are met and everything. No, we need to, I need somebody to come up here because I've got to express this. Eric, yeah. Because somebody else might like freak out. You ready for the, no. What I'm trying to show is intimacy. It's like this. When you appreciate someone, you can grab them like this, and you can hold. You can do that with God. You can say, "Father, Father." Do you see that? That's Abba, Father. You're not going to do that with just somebody that you're strangers with, or somebody that you know you're not sure about. That's the kind of intimacy we can have with God, where we can hold His face, saying, "Father, Father, I have needs. I need these needs met in my life, and You are the need meter. You." Fix me. And you can look Him in the eyes and you can request that from your heart to His heart. That's what that's saying. He is a daddy that we can be affectionate with. Thank you, bro. We can sit on His lap if you can. Now, that'd be really weird. But we can sit on His lap. I mean, to illustrate that, it'd be really weird. But we can sit on His lap. We have that kind of relationship with Him where we can just, you know, sit on His lap and look up in His eyes and say, "Man, You're so good." And He can bounce us on His knee. And some of you are going, you're just getting too weird, Pastor Mike. Why? Why am I getting too weird? Because we've become religious. Sorry. We have. We've made God this impersonal figure, this character that's up there somewhere, that yes, He's all powerful, and yes, we love Him, but intimacy with God, being able to just sit and spend quality time with Him, not saying anything, except experiencing who He is in all His fullness and all His goodness. He wrote it. Again, I'm just delivering it. Don't read it like it's some kind of story in a book. That's Paul trying to wake up the Romans saying, "Folks, do you realize who your son's of? He's your daddy. He's your Abba Father." And you're saying, "Well, Pastor Mike, maybe Paul mixed up and put that in one place." No, it's in several places in the Bible. where we can call him Abba Father. Why am I saying this? Because we have got to start being children of God. Not from some kind of religious positioned place where we make people feel less than us. No, from a place where we enjoy God. Where we walk around with smiles because we're satisfied. We're whole. We're well. I mean, we can focus all day long on a laundry list of things not to do. But why not just let God fill you so much that you don't care about those things anymore? Wouldn't that be great? Just to be so close to the Father, so close to Jesus, so full of the Spirit of God, that you don't even want to deal with that stuff. You don't want to mess with it because you're so full of God. We have not received, folks, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of, oh, what can I do to please him? We've not received that kind of spirit. We've received the spirit that says, Daddy. We've received a spirit that says, oh, Father, Papa. Now, you guys are not going to get this in one sermon. You are going to have to start asking the Holy Spirit to let you know your sonship, to let you know who you are. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to believe the lies anymore I've been told that say, I have to make God love me, or I have to make him be all the Father he could be in my life. I want your truth in my heart. And he is the Spirit of truth, as well as the Spirit of adoption. See, so many of us had such bad father relationships that what I'm saying to you sounds so foreign. To me, in some ways, it sounds foreign. But I'm starting to experience it beyond my bad thinking, my bad theology. Because he loves me. And that's why. Not because I'm something good. Or I'm something special, or because I'm a pastor teaching you. No, he just loves me. And he's letting me experience him in all of his simplicity. Yes, God is complex. Do not get me wrong. But folks, his love is simple. His love is simple. And we make it complex. We make it some kind of an obstacle course we have to try to go through to perform. Crawling under things and over things and around things. And hey, Caleb. You were on my heart this week. And guess what I saw? You maneuvering through an obstacle course. I didn't know what it meant. I was just going to share it with you. Until right now. You don't have to perform, son. You don't have to make God love you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a passion that you cannot imagine. He chases after you. I believe God has dreams about you. You can get off that course. Just rest in him. God is good. And we don't have to make ourselves good by being cleaning our act up enough so that we can be loved by him. Do I say, let me clarify. Do I say to go out and sin so that grace may abound? That's not what I'm saying at all. I believe in holiness. But I can't make myself holy. That's the trap. That I can do enough things to make myself holy. No, I'm holy because he says I'm holy. And now because you've said I'm holy, guess what? I'm empowered to live holy. don't believe the lies anymore. When they come to you and they try to tell you something that you know deep in your heart, this doesn't sound right, reject it. Because God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the simplicity of God. He loved us so much that he gave it all. And then he loved us so much that now he's given us the spirit of adoption, where we can say, you are my Father, you are my heavenly Father. I don't care what every earthly father has ever looked like. None will compare to who you can be in my life. Some of us just need to come home. That's what we need to do. Some of us just need to come home and quit trying to figure it all out on our own. Some of us just need to quit running. Some of us need to quit messing with things that aren't giving us any satisfaction or joy at all anyway. They are not. You can say, well, Pastor Mike, they're fun for a moment. Until you need more fun, then you forgot even what that was. So now you need something else. Remember, the flesh profits nothing, and it is always not satisfied. You will always have to feed the flesh if you're going after the flesh. And it will always be more than what it was last time. But guess what? The Father takes us right now just as we are. If we receive the Son, we receive the Father. And if we receive the Father and the Son, we receive that Spirit where we can say, Daddy, Daddy! Can you guys do that with me right now? This is an exercise in feeling awkward, but I want you to do it because it is the truth. I'm telling you. Lift up your hands with me on three, so we're doing it together. One, two, three. Daddy, Daddy! Yes. Hallelujah. You need to just do that more often. You need to get to the place where that doesn't sound awkward. What do you mean where it doesn't sound awkward? Where it's out of your heart, because it should be out of your heart. Because you've got the spirit in you of adoption. You've got the spirit in you of sonship. You have it in you. That's why you said it, because it's in you. It's just awkward because our flesh says, oh, I don't deserve this. I haven't been good enough. Or the devil says, you're not any son. Look at the way you act. It's not because I act or how I act that makes me a son. It's because he says I'm a son when we receive Jesus. He says that I'm his child and co-heir with Christ. When I receive his son into my life, then we can say, Daddy, Daddy, or Papa. And some people say, well, you're disrespecting God. No, I'm respecting God because he's the one who put this in my heart. Well, you're making him, you know, too low. He came so low that he walked on the earth for me. He came so low that he left all his glory to walk as a humble man and live this life without sin so that his price on the cross was more than enough. That's how low he brought himself. So don't get religious and say, well, God, we can't approach God that way. No, he says we can. He is our Father. He is our Daddy. Let's start living like it. Let's start knowing him like that. Let's start letting him know us like that. Where we can be intimate with him, say, Daddy, I'm dealing with this. It just keeps coming back. Can you show me how we can remove this forever? Yes. Yes. I said, I can't do this on my own. But I know, Daddy, you can help me. Because you got all the power. You got all the authority. And you and I together, I know we can lick this thing. That's the way we can talk to God. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Daddy. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being our daddy, for being our papa, for calling us your sons, calling us your daughters, calling us your co-heirs, your joint heirs, Lord. God, I pray that we would remove the religious mindsets, God, that say we're not good enough. Because, Lord, we'll never be good enough. We will absolutely never be good enough in our own strength. We'll never be good enough, Lord, through running through hoops and jumping over walls and running that obstacle course. God, we're only good because you say we're good. We're only good because you empower us to be good. We're only good because your word, Lord, transforms us and changes us into the image of your Son. Help us know you, Lord. Help us all this week reach our hands out and grab your face and look you in the eyes in intimacy. Help us all to realize, Lord, that you're our Heavenly Father, but not in heaven so far away. You're right in our heart. And we can have such closeness. We can draw so near to you, Lord, that we can literally hear your heartbeat just as John did when he was sitting and reclining on your chest. God, I pray for every person right now, Lord, that the enemy has lied to, that the enemy has taken their joy out of their life. And I pray that you would fill them to overflowing with your love. That God, you receive them just as they are, as they come to you. And you will be the one, God, that transforms them. You will be the one that makes them, Lord, who you've called them to be. I pray right now, God, for anyone that does not know you, let their eyes be open, let their heart be open, let their ears hear that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, no how, no way will come to the Father or be able to call you Daddy except through him. And that's believing in his sacrifice, the high price that he paid on Calvary, his hands and his feet being pierced. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I release your destiny into your people right now. I speak life over them. I speak, God, that this week, God, they will know you as Father. They will know you as Daddy. They will know you as Papa. And Lord, that they will draw so close to you, Lord, that they'll wonder how they ever existed without that relationship. And you get the praise, you get the glory and the honor, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here that wants to make God their papa, their daddy? That you've been away from him. He hasn't been away from you, but you've been away from him. Maybe you've never asked him into your life before. Maybe you've never received the goodness of the Savior. If that's you, I want you to come on up and stand. We'll just say a simple prayer. Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. But if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. So publicly declare the goodness of God. And start off by saying, I want him in my life publicly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May I believe? Thank you. Come on. It's
So you want to receive Jesus?
Well, praise the Lord. Well, if you need prayer for anything, please come up. And God bless you all. I love you. Have a great week. Remember, He's your daddy.